You ask the questions, and then it can translate.
Okay.
Devotees. That will pick up what I'm saying? It's picking it up?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, I would like to ask a question about Muslim religion.
About?
Muslim religion. Saying that they are following, for example, good Muslims, we can take. They are following scriptures, what Quran says, very strictly. And at the end of their lives, where do they go to?
They go to whatever the Quran says they go to?
They go there. In spite they eat meat and...
Well, they go somewhere. So that's, you know, they... There's meat eating also recommended in Vedas. So for those people who eat meat, they'll have to take a reaction for that. But if they at least accept some level of restriction is what they eat, just like, you know, at least they won't eat pork.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something. Certainly, it's always better in every scripture. Also recommends vegetarianism, since it's there, don't kill. It's black and white, that you shouldn't kill. But if you have to kill, if you're so attached, at least kill in a regulated way. And then Yanti Deva Pita Devan, then people get the result of their worship.
In Islamic philosophy, I know that there is a way to kill the animals. You cannot just cut throat and eat the meat.
Same thing in Vedas. It's supposed to be done in a sacrifice, not a slaughterhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, because the principle of scripture is that people should accept some type of authority and some type of restriction. And if they do that, even if they can't accept complete restriction in one life, at least if they accept some, then in the next life they'll continue accepting more.
Also, it is recommended when they leave their body, they should say the name of Allah.
Yeah.
It is very recommended for them to chant the name of Allah. So, very similar. And another question about devotees living in Turkey. Most of us working outside.
Yeah.
And I would like to ask about eating outside. How should we deal with it?
It depends to what extent it's you can manage it. If you can avoid eating outside, then that's the best. Sometimes in business you may have to eat outside. Just you have a business luncheon, so then you eat. Obviously, you don't compromise. You're vegetarian, but that's people aren't going to nowadays. It's not a big thing. So, and you can eat vegetarian, or you just don't eat. I mean, there are certain things that we don't do. In other words, once we're vegetarians, then we stay vegetarian. We don't let anyone, for any circumstance. But how we're vegetarian, it's ideal that we're eating at home, but if we can't eat at home, then sometimes we may have to eat in a restaurant, or we may have to eat in a vegetarian restaurant, or we may have to eat in a non-vegetarian restaurant eating vegetarian thing, or just some salad, or rice, or something like that. Or if someone goes traveling and they have no other facility, then they may have to do something like that.
Mm-hmm. And with the same on the parallel line, for example, I'm visiting my parents. In my parents' house, I have some different pots that I use for cooking. If I cannot cook, my mom cooks for me. And she loves to cook for me, actually.
Yeah, that's what mothers like to do.
Yes. And she's very happy that I eat what she cooks.
Yeah.
So...
You should do that. That's again... If you don't accept your mother's cooking, then there'll be war.
Yes.
So one should do that, and if they cook in separate pots, all that much better. These are part and parcel of living in the kind of confused world we live in, and also preaching. So sometimes for preaching, it's not good preaching to have your parents antagonistic towards you. So we make that compromise, and Lord Chaitanya takes that into account.
And one more question, Guru Maharaj. How can we, in Turkey, how can we introduce our lifestyle without emphasizing on Krishna consciousness? How can we do that to you?
By using sort of general principles like vegetarianism. I mean, there are many vegetarians around the world who may be atheists, but because they believe that they should live a non-violent life and that they should cause minimum pain to others, they practice vegetarianism. So that's one. Not drinking. Of course, in Islam, drinking alcohol is also forbidden.
Yes.
So it's not a problem, Islam, adultery and things like that, premarital sex are also looked down on.
Yes.
So again, no problem about illicit sex. So intoxication, illicit sex. I don't know about gambling.
Yes, it is also forbidden.
So, we're seeing eye to eye on 3 out of 4. The fourth one is easy, like that. And you will always find that many of our practices, many of our cultural activities are like that. They're cultural. They're common to the mode of goodness. So in a place where they shouldn't be directly connected to religion, it's better to just relate them to culture. Either it can be Indian culture, or you can find probably different aspects of Turkish and Islamic culture where a lot of these principles of cleanliness, simplicity, austerity, they're also there.
Yes.
Because they are common to all religions, touch on these things, or they may even be their foundation. Although there may be certain differences in ritual and practice, and then in some areas, because they're not necessarily meant to be preaching paradharma, but they preach some type of intermediate stage or beginning stage of religious principles, so then they differ from Krishna conscious philosophy or teachings. But these cultural things, we do. And then, as far as wearing dhoti or tilak or things like that, then those are in place in a Muslim country. You don't do that. You do that in your home,
yeah.
But you don't do that. So we should always try to find, the cultural common ground for our Krishna conscious practices, where it doesn't come into any type of religious or theological conflict.
Okay. Thank you very much, Guru Maharaj.
Okay, that was it.